Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, then.
And good night. Good night. Good night. I got to go to sleep.
And do you know what this is?
What do you got there?
Gefilte fish.
Oh, gefilte fish.
That's right.
You're doing it.
It's not even Passover, baby.
Where'd you get the gefilte fish?
I bought some for Passover, and I eat it till it's gone.
Right. Is it like tuna?
No. It's like tuna. It's very hard to describe what gefilte fish is.
Is it like salmon?
No.
No.
It feels... I can only describe it as it feels very poor. It feels like poor people food. Like our people were having this.
The only time I've ever had gefilte fish was in the ghettos of Rome, the Jewish ghettos.
Are you being serious or no?
It was really good.
You actually had it?
Yeah.
Was it cold?
I don't remember. Like, it was like Jewish food, but with an Italian twist.
By the way, so we have a lot to do today.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just finishing my dinner. So do you have some plugs while I finish my dinner? Do you have some plugs?
No, not really.
No?
I'm out of plugs.
Wow.
I'm out of plugs because, this Thursday,
here we go.
May 5th, I'll be back in L.A. I just came from L.A. And I go back to L.A. on Thursday, May 5th to do my final Netflix is a joke show with Michelle Wolf. So, yeah.
How was the last trip to L.A.? Besides the videos you took of
voice.
The videos you took of girls at the pool, besides that.
It was a great trip, man. Lot of pictures and videos because, you know, Dave Chappelle's real iffy with the pics and vids. But I had a good old time, man.
You were out there for it was a Chappelle trip?
It was Chappelle, Mo Ammer. You know, there's a Netflix festival going on. It's like a 2-week-long festival.
Mm.
Netflix is a joke comedy festival. And everybody's out there. Everybody.
And what was the whole deal?
I went out there. I was doing a show in Mo Ammer. Those shows were great.
Yo, Mo Ammer looks real rich.
He does look rich.
Right? Doesn't he look like he looks like the definition of he glowed up. He looks glowed up.
He's glowed up. That's very good. That's a very good description. Glowed up.
Right?
I mean, he's got this year alone, he dropped a special. He's got a series coming out on Netflix in August and a movie with The Rock. Like, he's on fire.
Yeah, there's no he's denying. He's been successful.
And Rami.
But...
And he's on that show, Rami.
And he's on Rami. Which was sort of like the slow burn for his set off the last couple years.
Correct.
Nah, he glued up. I think he glued up.
Glowed.
He glowed up. Now, speaking of people saying things wrong, I was very excited to tell you this. And so far, no one's found this as funny as I did, but I think you would appreciate it. I didn't turn my light on today. But you know what? You're dark. I'll stay dark with you. I mean, your light, by the way, is dark in your room.
Oh, is that what you meant?
So we went to...
What the fuck you meant?
Natalie and I grabbed a little dinner last night. All right, fine. I'm not. It looks too bad. Natalie and I grabbed a little dinner last night at a restaurant on the Upper West Side, an Italian spot. It was really good. I enjoyed it. And I just observed that there was a girl sitting across from us. After this happened, I was trying to ask Natalie how old she thought she was. Because I was like, she must be young. Obviously, she's young.
Right.
And this is incredibly snobby, but it doesn't change how funny it is. I just hear her go, I think I'm going to get the Gnocchi.
Oh, God.
And her friend's like, oh, what's Gnocchi? She's like, you know, Gnocchi. It's like the small balls of potato. So I was just so, I was delighted because I'm like, well, you know what it is. So that means you ordered it. And a waiter he just let you do that and didn't say,
oh. How hot was she?
Oh, of course, the gnocchi. Yes, we'll give you the gnocchi. And then she goes, gnocchi. I said Gnocchi. She's still walking around saying Gnocchi.
How hot was she?
This is in 2022. It's very hard to answer that question in a very big, like any direction. No, if she had been really hot, it would be easy for me to go, oh my God, she was hot. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. She was fine. Saying, like, she was totally fine.
No, you know, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole long bit about it, but you know, people let good looking people slide with a lot of bullshit.
Gnocchi's unacceptable though, Saif.
My thing is like, anytime I see a word where they throw two hard consonants together.
Correct. You gotta.
This is a different language. We don't do that in America. We wouldn't jam two consonants in the beginning like this.
Wait. And by the way, you mean the GN?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
So I look at that and I go, oh, this is a different language. I don't know how to say this.
Well, and also, what kind of restaurant am I at?
Correct.
An Italian restaurant. So
correct. Yes.
So by the way, all the other dishes. And you know, listen, when Natalie ordered something, I'm sure she butchered it. She was like the fungi, F-U-N-G-H-I.
Yeah.
Fungi, we don't know what it is. But by the way, but the sound of when you say it, you know, you kind of say it like a question when you don't know.
Yeah.
And you ask it. And you hope the waiter will then say it back to you to make you smarter.
I asked the waiter,
How do you say this? There's one right here.
How do you say this? Because I knew fungi is a mushroom.
Right. It's definitely a mushroom. It was a mushroom. But I don't know how to pronounce the word mushroom in Italian.
Yeah, I have years of context clues and eating a lot of Italian food.
You can't say Italian.
I don't know why you can't say Italian.
Because I think it's racist. I think it was done as a slur. I think that was what'd you say?
My grandmother used to say that. Was it a slur?
If you're, I have really bad news for you about your grandmother.
Yeah,
a raving racist monster.
Was it a slur if you say it incorrectly?
It's when you say Arab, I believe it's offensive, and when you say Italian, I believe it's an attempted offensive. That's what I believe.
If you're an American in the 1900s, early 1900s, and they write the word Italian, and you don't know how to pronounce it in a more of a Latin-loving language, you would say Italian. And then, but now if you go, these fucking Italians, that's different.
I think, though, if you speak English completely correctly and you randomly just say, I was having Italian food, you're either trying to be offensive or you're an absolute douchebag. Like, why would someone who speaks English say Italian? You just said it because you're copycatting your...
Arab is wrong?
Definitely.
What? How do you say it correctly?
Arab.
Okay, now that's also not how Arabs say it. They say Arab.
Arab, right. But Arab is closer to Arab. Arab is nowhere.
So racist is if you sound closest?
No, it's about what the intention was when people say it. It's. I believe when people started saying, yo, he's an Arab, they were trying to say something nasty.
I don't know if that's true because they might have just been the intent and focal point of the way they were intensifying the saying it out loud to somebody, yes. But if that's the way it's spelled...
Well, listen, there's only one way for us to settle this. You must go to Bensonhurst and shout out...
Let's get a linguistic expert on here.
Well, but no, we don't need a linguistic expert. All we need to do is get a survey of Italians and Arabs and say, does the following pronunciation offend you? And then we...
Where did it come from?
I don't know if it matters.
Because I'm saying if the origin was not...
I don't think the origin matters, though. What if the origin at this point of the N-word wasn't negative?
Because what about the word retarded?
That?
What if I use the word retarded in the actual definition way? Is it wrong?
No.
Because now people get so that's what I'm saying. So like if my grandmother was not racist and her new neighbor was from Italy and she was like, oh, are you Italian?
Yeah,
because
that's what
it looked.
Right, and I would say, hey, abuela, or is it your Irish side?
That's the Irish grandmother.
I would say, listen, you fucking Irish lady. I would say, hey, you shouldn't say Italian. And she would go, I don't mean anything by it. And I go, oh, I know, but I still think it sounds weird.
But is the proper way to say the word, that written word?
Mm-hmm.
In English, Italian, because
no.
Italian is the Italian way to say it.
This requires too much thought. See, this is the problem with your people. And when I say your people, you know what I mean? Comedians.
Like when you say Los Angeles, you're saying it not the Spanish way.
Right.
Or Las Vegas. Or when you say San Bernardino. You're not saying it the Spanish way. You're saying you're reading the words as an American would read English. So is that disrespectful?
This is very simple. If you know, if there's a pronunciation that a group is comfortable with and everyone has accepted as common vernacular, and you continue to do it in some other way, regardless of reason, I could argue that alone is just disrespect.
How could someone back then know that today would be uncomfortable?
What do you mean back then?
Like my grandmother.
Well, yeah,
my
I wouldn't.
Said Italian.
Oh, but let's be honest. I'm going to ask a question with all due respect, and I mean all due respect to your grandmother. Was your grandmother an educated lady? Honestly,
I wouldn't say educated, highly educated. No.
So was it her fault? No, she is. She might not even known. But all I know is when I watch like Do the Right Thing, and I think Bugging Out says Italian.
Right.
I believe he is trying to be offensive to a group that he believes is racist towards him. That's how I always took it when I watched Do the Right Thing. And when I hear people say Arab, I always think that sounds loose. That doesn't sound like what people would want. And then there's a hit song with that word in the title that we used to play on our morning
show.
But
this is where I don't agree with all these politically correctness terms, because sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not. That makes no sense. Is it a rule or is it not a rule? Because like I said, like I say a lot of people say a lot of Spanish words incorrectly because you're reading it with an English vernacular. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, like, I understand what you're saying. I'm not trying to fight you on this.
No, you are.
I'm sure there was people like WAP became offensive, but WAP just means without papers.
Right. But it doesn't matter. Like, but it doesn't matter what it was. It only really matters what it is.
No, no way.
I believe it only matters what it is.
No way. It can't just matter what it is. It has to matter where it came from.
But hold on. But if you were to now say that to someone and then they go, excuse me? And you go, excuse me, it only means without papers. What does that do for you? You still offended them. By the way, without papers is offensive. Let's just start there. Having a term for people who don't have their papers is already discrimination. You were already trying to shun them when you say it in the first place.
You don't think maybe there was some kind of line at Ellis Island and it was with papers and without papers? Like there was people coming from countries where they were issued some kind of paperwork, and then there was a line where they had no paperwork. And
no, at some point, perhaps
whip. This is the whip line, and this is the WAP line.
So it was still a separation, and that was still, even if it wasn't
admin separation.
But even if it wasn't intended to be offensive, I'm sure that would still be an unpleasant experience for someone when they're the ones without papers.
Yes, getting made fun of because of your language, or
even just knowing that presumably the person with papers is in a better situation than the person without. So to be labeled as a person without is inherently a bad thing because you want to be with papers.
No way.
Listen, you know what? I'm glad you brought this up because this is the last thing I'm going to say on this. I am so annoyed with comedians and the complaint. And I know you're not bad, like in my opinion. As far as what annoys me, I don't consider you to be like the extreme of it. But bro, I listened to a Marc Maron podcast about the history of comedians saying they're not allowed to make jokes. Bro, do you know it literally goes back to blackface? There were comedians going, hey, soon we're not even going to be allowed to do blackface anymore. That was a real thing that happened. And I'm resentful of it. Because while I understand there are challenges created by it, when you're a comedian, especially if you're a successful one, and a lot of the ones who complain are really successful, you're doing shows for people who love you, who come to a club, and now in most cases, you can even take their phone. Bro, I do 8 hours of live radio a day, and 50% of the audience hates me. They're waiting for the moment to end my life. And I can manage, knock on wood, in a big way, I can manage to survive and still be funny and do my job. How is it that comedians who have their own audience and they can take their phone have to cry every time the world requires a little bit more sensitivity? And by the way, I'm going to send you a link to the podcast if you're bored on a flight. It's an incredible history to hear.
First of all, I agree with you in some parts, but also...
Because you've been on both parts of it. You do know both parts. Well,
I am definitely on the fence on either side. I see both sides, and I understand your point. But I wasn't even trying to be a comedian in this aspect. I was being more of a
You've always made these arguments.
Like language. I love language. I love slang. I love dialect. It's just something that I'm interested in, and you know, people take away. Words, I guess words change and they become offensive, but they still have to be used in other aspects. I don't know.
All I know is, hey, listen,
what we're here for.
All I know is this, and this isn't the words of Cypher Sounds, this is the words of Rosenberg. Not that anyone cares. Joe Rogan, for example, complaining ever about cancellation. When a compilation of you saying the N-word came out and you're still all good, I don't want to hear about how bad cancel culture is. They had a full N-word compilation.
No, it doesn't matter.
And you survived. You can't, if you're that big, there's no cancel.
You can't be canceled when you're on fire.
No, you can't. That's the thing. Exactly. If you're not scorching, you can be canceled.
Yeah.
You or I could be canceled like this. Wayne,
like how homophobic the hip-hop, you know, in general... And I don't, it's not as bad as I know a lot of very progressive people in hip hop, but I'm saying overall, there's a homophobic vibe in the hip hop community. And when Lil Wayne used to kiss Baby in the mouth, everyone let it slide because he was scorching hot.
It's a fact.
He was so on fire. They were like,
I mean,
that's what they do.
I mean, That's so true. I mean, listen, that's how they get down. What? And by the way, you and I, of course, I remember this time. We don't give a fuck either way.
Okay,
but the fact that you'd have raging homophobes who would say horrible things, and they'd see an actual picture of two dudes kissing, be like, but that's like a father-son relationship.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
People make up the rules for who they want to make it up.
I love it.
So
I was in Vegas. I'm sorry, Los Angeles, and Dave Chappelle and Busta Rhymes are doing this thing called Dave and Busta.
Yeah, I saw it. Busta posted about it like 19 times.
Bro, come on, man, come on.
What is it? What is it? Dave performs.
It's not even. This is the fucking beauty of it. They don't know what it is. It's not fully formulated yet. They're like, we should do this thing where we have extreme amount of fun on stage together, called Dave and Busta. And like, first of all, shout out to Spliff Star. Apparently, he just beat prostate cancer. And they're talking about it on stage, and he's telling everyone to go get checked.
Wow,
it's hilarious!
Shout out Spliff Star and good
because
for
apparently
doing that.
He had no symptoms, nothing was wrong. He just went for an annual checkup, and they found something.
Oof.
So, like, you know what I mean? Like, how many people don't go for an annual checkup?
By the way, I'm about to get a colonoscopy. I got to find out a way to get I got to find a way to get it covered because technically, I don't think it could be covered till I'm like 45. But I want to get one. I need to get
one. Yeah.
Have you had one yet?
No, I'm getting one. I mean, I got an exam, but I didn't get the.
You think we can get a 2-for-1 colonoscopy special if we go in together?
Yeah, there's got to be a Juanep doctor fan out there somewhere.
And we can be like, we can give you a promo code on the podcast to get your colon checked.
So that's great news. Shout out to Spliff Star. But bro, I missed the first show where they did it, but I was at last night's show, and it's like Buster. Like, how do I explain it? Like, we're getting to see Buster in a way we never get to see him, where he's like kind of just, you know how rappers nowadays, or like before the pandemic, will just be at One Oak and they'll just start doing like 3, 4, 5 songs.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
They're like newer. You know what I mean? So like they're like trying to get their shit out there or whatever. They're like, so Buster never really does that because he's Buster. He wants to be in the stadium.
Right.
So Dave somehow convinced him to like, oh no, let's do this thing where we like do it at clubs or shows or whatever. And he did last night like maybe 5, 6 songs. But every night he's doing different songs one night they told me the night I wasn't there, like he did all Dilla shit.
Mm.
Shit that he never performs.
Mm.
So who doesn't want to see that? Like, Busta's incredible, man. Busta is an incredible artist.
He really is. He has an incredible library of
bro. One night I was with him, and he was just rapping one of his album cuts, the Dilla songs. And I'm like, "Do you perform this a lot?" He goes, "I've never performed this in my life." And he's just rapping it to me, like he knows it all by heart. Like he's incredible. And his showmanship, bro. Oh my god. I know. Whatever.
No, listen. But by the way, he did a nice job at he spoke at Kay Slay's memorial last week.
He did.
He did a nice job.
Okay, so what happened there?
Well, let's come back to Kay Slay's memorial because we're going to have Papoose on in a little bit. Yeah. I'm going to send them the link. We'll see if he shows up. I'll send it in a few minutes. But there are two other things that came up that I just thought, I know, like, you know, the topic of people shitting on me is of mixed interest, I'm sure, to everyone. But these two in particular, I thought you'd find especially funny. And they both happened in the last week. Okay. I'll go in order.
I'm game.
Here's the first one. We'll go in order. This is from $1 million worth of game.
Oh, the Gillian and
yeah, you know, the only hip hop podcast Wallow. That matters. Yes, exactly.
Gillian Wallow.
Exactly. So here Attack Stone was a guest.
Attack Stone
from jail. Yeah, he called in. Here we go.
I still got, you know, them dudes is real sensitive towards me. I don't know why, because I joke on them a lot, but I ain't got no beef with them niggas. But he was mad at me because Charlamagne helped me. And I'm like, bro, I'm looking at the beef like Hot 97 to 105 got beef. Like, I thought that shit was like a joke. I didn't know like niggas was like serious. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When I found out the shit was serious is when the dude who beat Charlamagne up, the nigga Flex actually paid that nigga to do that shit. That's when I said, oh, these niggas really got radio beef. I got to stay the fuck away from these niggas because I'm really in the streets and I be having beef and I don't want beef. So this is when them dudes start coming at me, oh, tax, you a bitch and all kinds of shit. And I'm just taking it, just laughing because I'm thinking it's a joke. So like, as it goes on, the nigga Ebro ends up writing MTV, showing them my tweets, got me suspended for a week, all kinds of weird shit. And I was like, damn, I ain't even know this shit was serious like that. So, you know, it is what it is. I ain't got no beef with none of them, no. I respect dudes, you know what I mean? Even if they don't respect me, I respect them because one thing I respect about them is they know they're not going to do nothing to me.
So you heard the Ebro part there, Syf. There's a part with me, I can't find it. It's too long. But there's a part in there where he says to me, and he's now said this in multiple interviews, that he said he saw Nori, and Nori told him that I was trying to put a hit out on Tackstone. And that's why I wanted you to hear it. I wanted you to hear in his voice that he says it sincerely. He's like, yo, but like, Rosenberg plays the nice guy on the radio, but like, yo, he was trying to get a hit. He was trying to get the Good Belt gang to come see me. Literally, what? Literally, I didn't remember the name Good Belt gang until that
what
clip.
What are you talking about?
Bro, listen. This is so crazy, and he's now said it in multiple places. I don't even have beef with Tax anymore. Like, I'm not even mad. Dude is locked up. I want him to hold his head, figure out what his situation is, and God willing, live a productive life. But he's leaving. There's two things about the story. Number one, he doesn't remember from the Ebro story that, yo, he publicly outed who Ebro's baby mom's was and said horrible things about her and did the same thing with my ex-wife. He leaves that part out of the story and says the reason Ebro got him in trouble at MTV was because he was jealous of Charlamagne. He leaves out the attacking people's family part.
Right.
It's like, bro, right. You can't leave that part out of the story. And as far as me, did I reach out to Nori and say, do you know who Tack Stone is? Yes. I that sounds familiar. That's,
why Nori?
Because I think at that time, Nori and I were tight. Like, it was a time we were talking a lot. And yeah. I don't know. Like, you know, if you were me, you know, I only have a selection of certain people to ask about street shit. Nori was on my list.
Okay, got it.
And so I was like, and Nori didn't know him at the time. So then when Nori met him, I guess he was like, yo, Rosenberg just asked about you. I don't believe that Nori would have ever told him I was trying to put a hit out on him.
No, not
so
at all.
He made up that story. When he found out that I asked about him, because I was worried, bro. Like, you know me, I don't want actual shit problems. So when he posted a picture of my ex-wife and was writing all kinds of dick in the mouth and gang bang nasty shit, I'm like, I'm asking everyone around me, is this dude like a real problem? Like, what's going on here? And then we ended up talking and he apologized. Combat Jack connected us, and Combat, I think, basically, God rest his soul, told him like, bro, you went too far. And he hit me and was like, yo, I'm still not good with Ebro, but you and I are good, man. I'm sorry about that.
Yo, man, you know, dick in your wife's mouth, man. I might have went a little too far, man.
You think? My bad, man. You posted a picture talking about dick in the mouth.
Nah, man. It wasn't like that.
No, no. No, no, no. It was 1,000% like that.
Huh? Nah, but that's different, though.
And I did not try to get a hit put out on you. Why would I do that? I don't even know how to do that. He actually made it sound like, yo, in the interview, he's like, you know, Rosenberg plays Mr. Nice Guy on the radio, but I was like, bro, my street cred really appreciates you saying this, but come on, dude. You think anyone's...
Are you really, like, have you been playing me all these years and you're really like a fucking, like, string puller mastermind behind the scenes of it? Are you real, like, people always joke around, like, you're you and Paul Rosenberg, like, are you really connected?
Well, listen, they are starting to call me the hitman in these streets. Peter the Hitman Rosenberg. You know what I'm saying?
They started to call you what?
Ebro started calling me. Ebro started to go in the old man, the hitman. He's calling me the hitman. It's the craziest. But by the way, but then a fucking, I responded to it like a dumb shit. And then a somewhat credible broadcast, like sports broadcast website, wrote an article like Peter Rosenberg denies that he tried to hire a hitman. I'm like, why are you writing an article about this dude?
Wait, hold on. Yes, also I denied it.
Yes, I'm denying that, but please don't even talk about this. What? So, okay.
You trying to hire a hitman?
I'm sorry. It's, you know what, Sife, by the way? I meant to tell you about it.
Where would you go for that?
Well, apparently Nori.
Excuse me. Oh, wait, hold on. You told Nori you were hiring a hitman, or you trying to get Nori to be the hitman?
I think he said I was going to Nori to get the Good Belt Gang, which I think was, that was Nori's people back in the day, right?
Yes.
He was trying to, I was trying to get someone from Nori's crew.
Wow.
So that was last week. And then today I wake up and I see this link. And I love, my personal favorite is not just like Tack Stone is a talented guy who actually, I would say that without Tack Stone, $1 million worth of game success does not exist.
I mean no disrespect.
Okay.
I don't know who Tack Stone is.
He like, had a podcast that got really big, Tack Season. Okay. And I would say
it has
that
something to do with Troy Ave, right?
Well, that's why he went to jail. That's why he's awaiting trials. That is the
Troy Ave situation.
Situation.
The shooting.
Yes, that situation.
Before Troy Ave, he talks shit a lot of people.
Yeah, but his pot, yes, including obviously as you can tell me, Ebro, etc. But he also did shit that got a lot of notoriety and people found the point of view to be really unique and interesting.
Was he like a real street yes. dude that was doing the podcast?
Bro, he...
Okay.
Okay. I want to say this in a way that's not a remote diss, because it's not. I'll say it in the good way. Okay, here's the way to say it. That's accurate. Gilly and Wallow are doing what he did in some ways in a more polished, mainstream-ish way.
Okay.
He was the street podcast.
Okay, you got it.
And I really think he was hugely influential in that regard, for sure. I would never deny that. He just has done. He just was like, I don't understand why things got so crazy with me and Ebro.
So Nori and Joe Button are the hip hop podcasts.
Exactly.
And Tack Stone was the
street podcast. And I'd say Gilly and Wallow sort of bridge the gap. They sort of marry it. So then I wake up today though, and I see this link going around. Not that anyone's watching. It's only been viewed by like 11,000 people, but I just knew you'd want to hear it. So hold on. This is Lord Jamar on some
Rosenberg and Cypher Sounds and Kate Fox, and then they kept.
Here comes Lord Jamar.
Then Ebro had to come from his position and come in there and be the co-host.
First of all, get rid of Rosenberg. Let's just put that out there. Why do we keep holding on to this motherfucker?
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Like, seriously. Right. Like, who is this guy? Where did he come from? Yeah. And why do we fucking keep acting like he's somebody that we need to fuck with? That's get rid of this guy. He's not funny. He's not appealing. Oh, yeah. I don't like his point of view. Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, and a lot of times when I listen to like High 90.
The best part has not come up yet, though. Because Lord Jamar saying that about me is one thing, but you're going to be shocked at who catches a stray here.
So it's like they point of view don't know what's hot in the streets
at all.
They don't know
because Ebro don't like them. Laura Styles, get the fuck out of here.
How did Laura catch that? I sent it to her this morning. I'm like, yo, congratulations. You caught a fucking stray from Lord Jamar.
Is that a shrapnel?
Yo, Laura Styles, tell her to get the fuck out of here.
What was this all about?
Bro, it's literally, it's just like one of those YouTube clips that some dude is doing, some dude named Rapmatic. Let's give him a plug.
Bro, we gotta get Lord Jamar.
We gotta get Jamar. Bro.
We gotta get him.
Yo, man. By the way, why? Lord Jamar's hatred of me. Yo, man, I've really started to believe when I think about the fact that I now know and accept that I'm hated by some people.
Yeah.
I don't have takes publicly that are that crazy. Like, I don't know what take could make you hate me that much. unless it's also based in some other things that I think not everyone's honest about.
Right.
I'm just sorry. Like, if you look, Lord Jamar, I play Brand Nubian. Like, I'm one of the people who still holds the torch for people like Brand Nubian. Even as I know he's hated me for years.
Make sure you get that clip. Let's save that one.
Oh, no, no. I told, because he disses Ebro in a second, too. I told Juanito, I was like, you need to make a morning show drop with all of those lines about us.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But you know what's funny is I can understand people saying that about you in the first 2-3 years of your career. Bro, how many years you been at Hot?
15.
Bro, you're going on. I was there 17 from intern to morning show. You could pass me.
I could.
You could pass me. You've been there 15 years. And like, yes, when you first got there, who the fuck were you? Where'd you come from?
Why?
I think you've laid down. I think you've done a good job of establishing yourself and showing that you care about the music and the culture. And I think you've grown into an incredible radio personality. Like when you first got there, no one knew you fine.
Yes, I get it.
You've done a fantastic job since. And if you learned on the job, great.
I mean, even if you, okay, so the thing that I imagine rubbed a high percentage of people the wrong way was like the Chuck D thing, for example, right? Yeah. When I got into it with Chuck D.
Yes.
Even that now is almost 10 years old. Right. And I publicly, unequivocally, in a way that no one in media does, unequivocally apologized and said I was wrong.
Yeah.
So it's like, meanwhile, you've got other people who do really nasty, mean things to people personally and never make amends for it. And they are accepted permanently, even when horrible things are alleged about them. All I have is takes that are obnoxious sometimes. Like, you know, I say Doja Cat can rap better than Drake. Okay, I get it. You think that's a trolley comment. Is it worth hating me for?
And it's like if Suge Knight gets out of jail and he's walking around Harlem, people will want to take pictures with him. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
People will want to take pictures with him and get autographs and be like, yo, Suge Knight. It's like, no, he was mean to a lot of people.
Bro, I've realized, though, the truth of the matter is, and this isn't because I'm so smart or anything like that, it's just I'm only appealing to a very narrow group of every group. Only certain kind of white people fuck with me, because anyone who's remotely racist hates me.
Right.
And only certain black people fuck with me. I'm in a very narrow lane in terms of people who actually don't fucking hate me.
There's a lot of people who fuck with you that are just not vocal, bro.
I know. I mean, they're there too.
They're just not vocal. Well, listen. They don't care.
Well, one guy who's covered both, he's covered both ends of the spectrum, depending on when you'd ask him, would be our brother Papoose. What up, Pap?
Peace.
Papoose.
Peace. Safe. What's up, brother?
Peter, Papoose.
What up, Pap? How you doing, man?
Not good, man. Maintaining though.
Yeah. So it's only been obviously a couple of weeks, man. First of all, I sent you a text, but I want to say it on the podcast too. You were fantastic at the service. Like Saif, Pap's words were sincere, and they were both heavy and had lightness to them, you know, and light. I thought you just did. You and Rem both did an incredible job. So I just wanted to salute you publicly for that.
No, thank you, man.
That couldn't have been easy, man. So, I guess where does your relationship? You told the story that the relationship began from you waiting outside of Hot 97. Is that literally the first time that you ever came into contact with K Slay?
I seen Slay before then at a mixtape award, but I was just, you know what I mean, observing him doing his thing. So the answer to your question would be yes. That was the first time I actually, you know what I mean, met him and spoke to him and had interaction with him, yeah.
And how many times did you give him a CD before eventually calling him during his show to complain that he hadn't played your CD?
Man, it might have been like maybe like 3 times. You know what I'm saying? Like I probably came back like three different occasions, man. And the third one, I was just like, damn, bro, like, what's up? You know what I'm saying?
Bro, that era, that era of Hot 97, of the people waiting outside for K-Slay and just listening to K-Slay is like not even able to be talked about, bro. It was such a great, where like I was fearful for my life to walk outside the station and also thought, how beautiful is this that dudes from the streets can get a shot to get their shit on the radio that night.
I invented that, though.
So you invented it.
I invented it. So they used to tell
me. You invented a subculture, bro.
Nah, I did. I did. And what made it worse was I wound up getting the big deal.
Right. Oh, God.
And then the story came out. And Slay used to tell me, like, yo, you got this nigga thinking they could just come up here and, you know what I'm saying, right. get their music on the radio like that. It don't work. He used to always tell me that shit.
So, in fact, your success probably made Slay's life, in many ways, more annoying.
Stressed out. Stressed out.
He used to tell me that all the time. He's like, it's you, man. You got these niggas thinking.
So after he started playing... After he started playing the records, first of all, did you have any of the big joints done?
No. I only had the CD when I first met him with 7 songs on it. And that's what I was selling off the trunk of my car. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was selling them shits. And eventually, I decided to go take it to Slay. But when we locked in and he started, you know, signing me as his artist, the Street Sweepers Entertainment, we started going in the studio and creating music. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I started getting them records done.
And did he set up all the label meetings? Like, was it just him running this operation?
Well, no. You know what I mean? It was us collectively, man. Slay mentality was, you know Slay, man. Y'all know. Y'all worked up there with him for years. He's going to come in there and do his show, and he's going to keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? But with me, being a new artist, when Slay was playing me on Thursday night, it was cool. But I was confused as to why the other DJs not playing me? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I started going to try to build relationships with us. When I asked Slay, he was like, nah, we good. Don't worry, man. We're going to be good. And I'm like, nah, I don't just need you. I need the other guys. So I started making relationships with other DJs here and there. And that kind of expanded it more and spread things out. So as we kept working consistently, think about it. I met Slay in 04. I didn't get a deal till like 07.
Mm.
I was staying hot just off of the mixtapes. And eventually, the bidding war started and labels started to recognize, but it was Slay who was, yo, we got a meeting over here. But me and him would go too deep. We would pull up together to each meeting. He would always take me with him and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Syph was laughing last week. A couple things about Slay. He always had a bottle at the radio station, right? Man, Slay always had a bottle of champagne. And if he was on the night before, we'd show up to the morning show and you'd see the leftovers of what had been the night before. But then Syph was also laughing about...
I remember the Del Friscos.
Ordering the Del Friscos.
Yeah. Oh, that's right next to Shady, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every night Slay would be in there.
Yo, Slay.
He'd get the steaks to go.
Slay was a classic. You know what's crazy? I did something at Shade the other night, and when I came out, I was like, yo, we got to go in Del Frisco's. We got to do it for Slay, man.
Yeah.
That and Childs. Mr. Childs.
Childs, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so as the years went on, though, like, and this was all stuff that I'm excited to share publicly because the memorial was small and it wasn't televised, but you told the story. Remy actually correctly told the story of the way that the two of you met, and it's completely like Syph. It's the most hip hop shit ever. Like, you guys met and have this family, and it all comes through K-Slay.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I said. I was like, yo, this guy gave me, you know what I mean, my career. You know what I mean, put me in the game and introduced me to my wife. What more can you do for a motherfucker?
Yo. That's everything, bro.
What more can you do, bro?
You know what I'm saying? Like, what
money,
poor person,
money, family. Like, that's what life is about.
Yeah. He gave you. How did it happen though? Because so Remy was with Slay first. Remy was down with Slay first.
Well, not even that. She, you know, the whole Terror Squad movement. Slay was also a part of that movement. You know what I'm saying?
The Black Fat Joe.
Yeah. So you know, Rem was like his little sister the whole time, and He was promoting her on the mixtapes, and she said she would always be number one. Then all of a sudden, she seen this guy, Papoose, number one on the mixtape. She was number two, you know what I'm saying? So she was like, oh, who the fuck is this nigga? This nigga whack. She didn't even hear me yet. But she was like, she was hating on me. She broke it down at the funeral. But how it happened was me and Slay was rocking, you know what I'm saying? I was building. Matter of fact, I was in the Players Club on all these with the Golden Lady. And at this time, you know, I was just starting to make a little name for myself. So I'm walking through the club, and I see Remy. And she give me the eye. But me, at the time, I'm like, nah, she ain't just give me the eye. Let me just go. Like a dumbass. I just keep fucking walking. And I'm like, it blew past me. I'm like, nah, she ain't paying me no mind. I ain't nobody, you know what I mean? So a couple weeks later, Slay hit me. And he like, yo, Rem want to do a song with you. And I'm like, word? He like, yeah, I think she like you. And I'm like, he like, yo.
That's how you know someone likes you. You want to do a song.
Is that not the most hip hop shit in the history?
Remy rapper way to do it.
Yo, it could only be the Remy and Papoose story. That's the only combination like this.
So he like, yo, you know, I'm going to let you know though, man. She kind of crazy. So, you know what I mean? That's my little sister. So if you're going to fuck with her, man, make sure you straight up. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, no doubt. So, you know, I go get a haircut. I go get my best outfit. I get my jewelry clean, everything. I come to the studio, and she don't even show up. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
Playing hard to get.
She don't even show up, bro. I was there like, hey, Slay, what happened? He like, I don't know, man. So, but we always in the studio every week. So, randomly, she pops up on another studio session. And we did a freestyle, you know what I'm saying? Through my whole verse, I'm just flirting and shit. I'm just saying the most flirtatious punchlines I could think of, you know what I'm saying? And we just became real good friends after that, man. And she was kind of like schooling me on the industry. Because I thought everything was real here. Like, I thought all of the rappers that was talking the tough shit was tough. You know, everything. She was like, oh, no, he's pussy. He don't do that. He don't do this. It's not like that. You know, you got to do this. She was like schooling me on the game and shit. And it just escalated from there eventually. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, Saif, do you realize that if you were watching a movie and they had the scene where the girl rapper and the guy rapper, they're both rapping and the dude starts flirting with her on the record, you'd be like, this isn't realistic. This isn't how it, this isn't what happened.
I sent it to you, man. You got to listen to it. It's called Bonnie and Clyde. It's a freestyle.
I wonder if it's on YouTube. I'm about to look at it.
Oh, it is.
It's so funny, bro.
It is.
And did Slay stay a close part of your guys' lives?
Yeah, all the time, man. Slay was like, we was a team, man. Like, if you pull up all of the old DVDs and shit, you see us having sneaker battles, all three of us, coat battles and shit. A lot of sessions, a lot of performances together. We was always performing together and shit. Just, oh, it was like a fan. We was a big family. You know what I mean? She was Slay's little sister and, you know, my girl, you know what I mean? But it was definitely a family, and Slay would always, you know, guide us and just school us in the right direction. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know that about Slay. He known as a drama king, but Slay keep a lot of bullshit down. He the voice of reason. He be squashing a lot of shit.
I think that's an underrated thing people don't know, because he had so much fun with the feuds. They don't know that behind the scenes, he was also a common link between people.
The glue. He was the glue for so much shit, bro. Slay was the one who brought Fat Joe and 50 together when they finally squashed the beef. Think about it. They did the song that was premiered through Slay Joe and all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he squashed a lot of serious beefs in the game, bro.
Yo, I've always wanted to ask you this, and it's not related to Slay. It's related to Rem. Do you ever, like, look up now at the... How long she been home now?
Rem been home now at this point longer than she was in.
Like 8 years now?
She's been home since 2014.
14. So yeah, 8 years. Well, I'm good. Saif, I remember Saif. Remember we had Remy call in. She called in from jail like a little before she came out.
Radio?
Yeah, when she called the station. And are there ever moments, Pat, where you like look around at the life you guys now have and like can't even fucking believe that you made it through that time? Like that shit must have been really challenging.
You must be psychic, man, because 100%, bro. I do it all the time. I get on her nerves with that shit.
Like, you stop her and just go, babe, do you believe that we're here? You're not there.
Yes. She don't want to hear it because I say it so much, so I say it to myself sometimes. I'm like, yo, I can't believe this shit. Like, I look around and I'm like honestly, that shit might have traumatized me more than it did her. Like, that shit kind of bothered me, because as a man, you see a lady in a predicament where you can't do nothing to help her. Ain't nothing you could do. All I could do is come to the penitentiary and sit there and visit her. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I got to leave and she got to stay there. So, I, you know what I mean? As a man, that shit fucked. It fucked with you mentally. You know what I mean? It was times when she first blew trial, I went home, you know what I'm saying? And I was so mad. You know what I'm saying? Man.
Did she ever say, like, to leave, like, leave her, don't wait for her or anything like that? I know you wouldn't listen, but did she ever say it?
At one point, yes. At one point, yeah, she did.
She was just like, yo, fuck out of here. Like, just leave me alone. Like, go.
What it was, no, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like, fuck out of here. What it was, initially, she didn't believe that I was going to be there for her.
Right, of course.
Most women, for some reason, you know what I'm saying? I guess so many guys leave females for dead, shit on them, be loyal. She didn't believe when I told her I was going to hold her down. So we actually got into a conflict over that. And she was like, I know you're going to leave me like everybody else did.
Right.
So what you waiting for? You know what I mean? But 1 year went by, too, and I was still there.
I saw it, bro. I watched you. I watched you all the time.
It's an unbelievable story. And look, now, Sife, you can just look in the background, even just in Pap's background on the Zoom, you could tell he's rich. You know, like, that's the life. You could just tell by the curtains that they're rich, you know?
Nah, we did good for ourselves.
You did pretty good.
How old were you when you met Slay?
Oh, man. I don't remember.
Roughly. 20, exactly. 21, 19?
I was in my early 20s.
Okay, so let's say you're 22. You meet Slay Hot 97 in front, whatever, all the street shit, gangster shit. Never once did you go, I can't wait to pick out curtains in a nice plant.
He never thought about that. Not for a second.
What kind of, he got that nice ceiling to the ceiling plant. Like, you
nah,
to
let me tell you
that.
Something, man. Let me tell you something. We got indoor pool. Bro. You know what I'm saying? Arcade game. Like, you won't, if you come to my crib, you won't believe it, man. We blessed, bro. Man. God is the greatest, man.
But I could see pool. Pool is in every rich rap video ever.
But not indoor, though.
Not indoor, though. Not indoor.
Pool is part of the rich. I'm going to get a yacht. I'm going to get a private jet. But not a plant. When did you get this plant? Like,
well, you must have never heard of Remy Martha. You know what I mean?
Oh, Remy Martha.
You must have never heard of Remy Martha Stewart. Yo, she cooks. Her cooking is amazing. She does party planning. So her decorating skills are on another level. Like, when you see fly shit like this, it's all her, bro. I have nothing to do with it.
That's so amazing.
Yo, it's crazy. Now, question. Do you have to be, like, with the indoor pool and young children, what do? It's, like, locked up? How do you make sure, the little ones can't get to the pool?
The first thing I did when I moved here, man, because of my daughter, which is a great question, we put alarms on it. So anytime you open the door to the pool, the alarm goes off.
That's what you need.
He's 3 years old, so we can't.
Yeah, you can't.
How old are your kids?
My daughter is 3 years old. My other kids, they grown now.
Oh, they from before Remy.
Yeah, before my wife, and she has a son. You know what I mean? My son.
Right. Yeah, I mean her son. Yeah, anyway. So your daughter together is 3 years old.
Yeah, she's 3 years old. She's the only one, you know what I mean? So
it's beautiful, man.
Extra careful, man.
And you guys went through a lot of hardships with trying to have the child too. Like after everything that happened with Rem, then that was hard. I know Rem has talked about that some. How hard was that experience for you? Watching her go through that and you too, because I'm sure you desperately wanted the child with her. Damn, you blacked out on us.
Yeah, it was really difficult because you know, I wanted to have a child while she was away. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we planned on her beating the case. She blew trial and had to stay there 7.5 years. And I had to wait that whole 7.5 for us to have a child together. You know what I mean? And, you know, honestly, I wanted her to have it while she was there because a lot of women who are incarcerated, they're able to have babies and they send the baby home with the father. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she was like, hell no, I want to be there.
And she would want to be there for that.
Yeah, I had to respect it, so I had to wait the 7. And then when she came home, she finally got pregnant, and she had a miscarriage. Mm. So in the process of having the miscarriage, the doctors informed us that, you know, she would never be able to get pregnant the normal way that, you know, people do get pregnant. And So we had to go through this process called in vitro.
Yep. You guys did IVF.
And we did IVF, man. And by the grace of God, man, we got our beautiful 3-year-old baby now. Man.
What a life, Pap.
What a life. What a life. And by the way, and that's the full circle part. And literally,
I was with,
without Kay Slay, without Kay Slay, our whole conversation, there's no way of knowing where this whole thing goes.
Yo, bro, let me tell you something, man. I wake up in the morning and I got to remind myself that this shit is not a nightmare and Slay is really gone. Like, I've been doing that ever since he passed away on Easter Sunday. He passed away Easter Sunday. I'll never forget it. And every day since then, when I wake up, I'm like, okay, K-Slay is really gone, man. This shit is not a nightmare. Like, this is my new reality.
He died on the 18th?
Died on Easter Sunday, yep.
Because my birthday is April 19th, and Guru from Gangstar died on my birthday. And it's always, every year, like, since the year he died, is like, he was like one of the first rappers that was cool to me when I was a kid, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm happy my birthday's coming, but I got to think of Guru. And now I got to put Slay.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? When it happens on like right around to something special. But Slay, man, we talked about him last week about on our episode, on our podcast. We can't believe how many Slay stories we had and like how we put it all together.
Wow, man. Yo, I'm not even going to, that shit, bro, that shit, bro. That shit broke me, bro. Like, I'll never be the same, man. To be honest with you, man. Like, I just can't believe it. You got to understand. This is somebody I speak to and interact with every single day, bro. This is like my best friend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A big brother who got me through shit. Like, if I need advice, I call Slay. You know what I mean? I know I'm going to get the clean, raw, uncut, you know what I'm saying? A piece of advice that you can possibly get.
Yeah.
The most honest, whether I like it or whether I want to hear it or not, Slay's going to say the shit. You know what I mean?
Bro, I was telling Rosenberg last week the illest advice Slay ever gave me. And it was random, too. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
By the way, it'll be funny. I wonder if Pap's heard this from him before. Because if you've heard it, Pap has to have heard it.
Bro, he goes, we were talking
by
about
the way, Slay, one of the funniest dudes I ever met in my life.
Mad funny. Mad funny. Bro, he goes, yo, if you, I got something about a coat. He had a coat, a dope-ass coat. Mm-hmm. I said, bro, that coat is so fire. How much was it or some shit? And he goes, man, it don't matter how much it was. I'll just tell you this. If you can't buy two, don't buy one.
There you go. That's real.
Like, if you can't buy two of anything, don't buy the one. And that shit, I held that piece of advice.
Wow, man.
Forever. To this day, bro.
Nah, that's how he is, bro. That's how.
It's so simple. It's hood math, hood finance, but it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
What was can you tell us anything that like Slay was into that we might not know, whether entertainment or like things you talk about, things that he was passionate about that maybe someone who didn't know
we would be shocked by.
Like, yeah, wouldn't know.
Type of movies he watched or whatever it was.
Oh man. Yeah, Slay liked to watch. I mean, I think he watched the shit that everybody watched though. He was big on Power.
He had to be. If Slay wasn't watching Power, 50 failed.
He was big on the Power shit. He would call me, you know what I'm saying? Yo, man, you don't watch Power, Pat, man. You crazy, man. Yo, you gotta watch Power, bro. Like, did that deserve?
Did he like to go fishing or what was like it, something honestly, we wouldn't know?
Honestly, y'all all know the graffiti shit. He still was real active in that shit.
Really?
Do canvases, like real dope. He still would do real dope ones and shit. Slay, you know what Slay was working on that I'm real hurt, bro? I'm so fucking hurt, man, because we was on the phone, and I was trying to say this at the funeral, and I lost my train of thought because I was so upset. But it was so weird. Before he got sick, we was on the phone one day, and I think I know hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I studied this shit from when I was a kid. But Slay's knowledge of hip-hop, the history, where it came from, where it started, the first DJ, the first female rapper, the five elements of hip hop. Oh, yo, it's on another level. So we was talking the other day, before he got sick, and as he was talking,
like during COVID times.
Yeah, but before he even caught it.
Before he got sick, yeah.
Yeah, and while we talking, I'm sitting there listening to him, and I said, "Yo, Slay, yo, you got to write this shit down for me, or let me record this shit because." God forbid something ever happened to you, all of this knowledge is going to be gone.
He got inside knowledge.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, Slay, your knowledge and your hip-hop history, You know what I'm saying? The level of shit that you know, I'm like, yo, I never spoke to nobody who know all of this shit. Because, you know, with the internet, some people will go out there and say something, yo, such and such started this. And Slave be on the phone with me like, yo, that's not who started it. It was such and such, such. And he break the whole shit down. So long story short, I'm like, yo, you like a vote, bro. Like, this shit need to be. He like, don't worry. Don't worry. My documentary is coming. I'm working on my documentary. Yo, this shit gonna change the game. It's talking about my whole life, all of my experiences since graffiti, who the real history of who started hip hop with. And I'm like, so I'm kind of, to answer your question, I'm kind of concerned because I'm like, yo, where the fuck is that documentary? Where's the progress?
Did he shoot some of it?
I'm speaking to his manager now, man, and we trying to backtrack and see if we could find a way to get that to the people, because I know I'm talking about for at least 2 years. He been telling me, yo, Pap, my documentary is going to be, it's going to change the game.
Oh, that has to come.
I mean, if he already shot interviews and stuff, I mean, God, we need that.
Yeah, bro, I think people need that, because when I tell you, his knowledge of the game is different, bro.
Well, he was around every element predating, you know, when records were even being recorded and put out. Like, he's the entire run of hip hop. He's literally, you could argue he's the only person who's remained relevant for the entire run of hip hop.
Hip hop, bro.
Syph, who else? Who else is still relevant from 1973?
Wow. I was doing graffiti in the street as a kid. Got videos to prove it.
Exactly. Like, in the movies.
Can't even debate him. Like, this nigga was part of the beginning. You know what I'm saying? What was instrumental in some of the biggest beefs between Nas and Jay-Z, and you know what I'm saying? The 50, like, it's his history is just crazy, man.
Yeah, he was he was one of a kind, bro.
Bro. Crazy.
Pap, thanks for making some time too. I know it's been a tough time, man, but we wanted your voice on here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate y'all for even having me on your platform, man. Real talk, man.
Oh, platform. Trust me, this is a very tiny platform. Yo, Pap. Pap, I be hitting you on Instagram, yo. Why you never write me back?
Wow,
sad. I gotta get your gram, bro, because I probably some kind of way got it twisted, man. But you know, I fuck with y'all guys, man. You know what I mean?
Yo, son.
What were you gonna say? You okay?
Spit it out, man.
My to this day, man, one of my biggest regrets in life is saying I was gonna go visit Rem and I never did, man.
Oh man, yeah, man.
That shit bothers me to this day, bro. Mm-hmm. And I'll be trying to hit you every once in a while, and probably you don't follow me so you don't see it, but that shit, like, me and her were really tight. Mm-hmm. That shit bothers me, man.
Is this you asking Pap to extend an olive branch to find out if she hates her guts?
Yeah, can you find out if she hates me?
Nah, man. Let me tell you something, man. Rem did all of that time. She came home. You know, people told her she wasn't gonna be nothing. She wasn't gonna be be successful again. You know, she got a beautiful daughter. We live in a mansion, own two. Three other properties. You know what I'm saying? And
he lost track.
That's so tough. Proud of her, man. She came so far from being in that penitentiary. So trust me, Syph, man. And you was a part of her, you know what I mean? In the beginning, coming up.
She fucking...
From you, bro.
Bro, we would be in clubs sometimes, and, like, she would have my back. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, yo, fuck these niggas. We gonna go fuck them up. I'm like... real shit. And I remember she told me... We was on a video shoot or something. We were on like one of those buses, like a trailer where they like, it's like the green room, but it's like a trailer outside.
Right.
And we was on this fucking trailer. I remember she had on these hilarious slippers. Mm-hmm. And that's what I meant. Like, when you so real, you could wear whatever you want because you know, when you always tough, you're not real. Because right. Tough people don't have to always be tough.
That's there you go.
Like, I always tell people, like, gangsters love R&B because they don't gotta listen to all this rap shit trying to hype themselves up. They chill.
Yo, that's real shit. The so realest people you know is humble, cool, like to have
humble,
fun.
Cool, Isley Brothers, fucking, and she was telling me that she like. like met you and was kind of fucking with you a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Papoose? Yeah, like he's been cool. Because me and Pap was always cool. Even, no, me and Pap have had many arguments, but always left cool, friendly. I saw his side, he saw my side. I play his record, like, yo, you're not playing this, you're not supporting me. You right, we play, you came to the mix. Remember, you used to come to the mixing meetings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I'm from New York, y'all playing all this other shit. Mm-hmm. Y'all not repping New York, blah, blah, blah. And then so, like, I feel like I saw it from, like, the inception. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a beautiful situation, which is, like, in hip-hop, is like, you think everything's so hard. And, I mean, still, it is hard. I would not want to run into either one of you in the nighttime.
But if you had that's to choose, really cool, but man. If you had to choose, you'd choose Pap.
If you had to, absolutely, that'd be smart to move, man.
If you had to, if like, let me put it this way: if I said something stupid on the radio, and like, which has happened before, and one of them was mad at me, I would want it to be Pap. Me and Pap, we've gotten through this before. We'll be honest. Right.
Rem is a whole different level of killer than me.
I am. Me and Remy, we've always bro, been was, Gucci. Like,
oh, bro, real last thing, real quick. You know, I tour a lot with Dave Chappelle. You know, I'm on my comedy shit now.
That's dope. Congrats.
So thank you, bro. So the other day we was in Denver and he plays this song of yours, the song with Lil Wayne.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
he just kept playing it over and over. Oh. I'm like, so what I do with Dave is I DJ for him and then I also do stand up. Mm-hmm. So I'll DJ, I tell jokes, and then I DJ again to bring him out on stage. When the smaller shows, when it's just me and him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll listen to whatever he's feeling lately, and then I'll bring him out to it. He don't even expect it. Mm-hmm. So he was playing that shit over and over, and I was like, I never knew. I never heard it.
It's new. It's from the last, it was from what, two projects ago? One project ago?
It was from, I think, November. Yeah, you got to be right.
It has months, right?
Yeah.
But that shit was fire, bro.
Yeah, man, good looking. Now, that was the best thing I did when I dropped the album each month. Bro, like so many people tried to talk me out of that shit, but yo, that was the best shit.
I'll tell you what, it sounds like a terrible idea on paper.
I'm telling you.
It really worked well for you. Like it really, every time I'd look up, I'd get a new email with like, oh, it's another month and here's a couple more joints. And I think it was really smart.
Let me tell you something. I'm still streaming off of all of that. I'm talking about like every Monday is a streaming check there for me.
Right.
And it's not going to go away. You've created with 100, you just added 100 songs to your streaming catalog.
Yo, bro, let me tell you something. When this year came, because remember, I did it each month, named after the current month. Yo, bro, I did so well. When this year came, I said, yo, I'm about to do it again this year. My wife was like, if you do it, I'm moving out.
Stop rapping.
Enough.
Like, bro,
enough.
Like, it was a lot of work, bro. It was a lot.
Of course.
Where's the studio in your house? Downstairs?
It's in my crib, yeah.
It's in the pool.
It's on the second floor. I wish. It's on the second floor.
Bro, man, I'm going to get you a number from Rosenberg, if that's cool.
Yeah, man, absolutely, bro.
All right, I'm going to set you guys up. And, Pap, we're really sorry for your loss, man. We appreciate you sharing with us.
Man. Yo, I appreciate y'all tribute to my brother Slay, man. And just trying to get through with it and carry on his legacy the best way I can, bro.
I have no doubt. We have no doubt that you will, bro.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate y'all, bro.
All right, peace, man. There he is.
See you later, Pap.
Peace, y'all.
Peace, the great Papoose. Yo, that is going to be a sneaky, beloved Juan Epp interview.
You're saying it on the interview?
No, like, meaning right now, the feeling that just happened when it ended is people going, wow, when I saw Papoose listed on the episode, I thought, cool. But I fucking enjoyed that guy. Like their story is so incredible.
Bro, come on, man. This shit is a fucking, not even just the love story part, even just like his whole career. Like he actually fucked himself.
Yep.
By getting $1 million deal. He talks about it. Like it was the worst thing he could have did. How is it getting $1 million the worst thing you could do?
By the way, let's hear this. That bitch. Right. That nigga, Pat, okay.
You ask for it. See, I be on some other shit, like fuck your dead mother shit. Disrespect your whole character. Call you by your government. I don't know what these bitches think. You ugly and your pussy stink. Your whole flow is.
What did she just say? Fuck your dead mother shit?
What a setup.
No crack. Yo, and this is them hanging out for the first time.
There's no ads. Niggas should call you frying pan. Your face is like a frying pan. And niggas throw their meat in you and you burn them like a frying pan. I ain't lying, man. See, y'all don't really want it. I got these bitches scared to death. They know the album coming.
Yup, see, Slay? This is why I told you I cannot do mixtapes. I'm
sprayed right now.
I just be talking fucking reckless. It's crazy.
And I ain't gotta force it. My shit come natural. You don't want me
right,
on
let's
that
hear, let's skip ahead to Papoose's flirting verse. Here we go. Here we go. Where'd it go?
Yo,
album come.
Check me out. I ain't recognized Remy when I seen her in the nightclub. We got the industry addicted. We like drugs. I done popped Cristal, Dom Perignon. I done drunk Alizé. The Don's very calm, done wild out. Drunk Henny Raw. That's why I say East Coast pop a bottle with y'all. A lot of chicks be burning like drinking some vodka. Try to tell me she a virgin like pina colada. Casket creamed it up, be my wet Sean Donning. But none of that could fuck with a bottle of Remy Martin. I don't smoke purple haze, smoke chocolate tie, smoke hydro, all types of la la la. Smoke straight skunk, blazed up, puff past Duke. But none of that could fuck with a pound of Papoose. Niggas wanna clap me up, leave me holy. I'm marijuana in the flesh. A lot of niggas wanna smoke me. I don't move good dope. Move straight coke. Shit so pure. Look like it came off the boat. I don't move hard crack. It's a lot of DJs. But none of y'all can fuck with a kilo of K-Slave. My worker dropped my bomb. He ran from the cops. He dropped my whole bomb. Talking every single rock. I told him don't worry about it, cause my single was hot. Flex dropping more bombs than the worker on the block. Rapology supreme. Philosophies and themes. You could call me Mr. Nasarim a dream. Remy look good in person, just like she do in the magazines. So I'ma stay close to Miss Martin like Dr. King. Never used to like drop tops, but he think he flossing. So I'm about to have more drops than weak forces. He don't wanna lean back. Slay, hand me the Taurus. Hit him in the back of his head and make him lean forward. Papoose, Papoose, Papoose.
Wow.
That is the most ghetto flirting ever, yo.
Yo, he said, what did he say about Martin, like Rep Miss Martin, close like Dr. King?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Oh, man. All right, well, Syph, you're a great guy.
We did it all. We said it all.
We've said it all. That's all there is to be said. There's nothing left to do. We've talked about it all. All the beefs that were needed. We've gotten our complaints out. Syph needs to sleep. Please tell me you're not going out.
No way.
Okay, thank God. Because I didn't know when you said earlier you only had an hour. I'm glad that's because you wanted to go to sleep, not because you wanted to go out.
I got to do a conference call right now, and then I'm going to. I got to shoot my show tomorrow.
What show are you shooting tomorrow? Your new TV show?
A new TV show. Oh. We started shooting.
You're going to get me on an episode, right?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Can't wait. All right, well, enjoy your sleep and enjoy your day of shooting. And everyone, I feel like with this episode, listen, if you're a patron and you want more on Patreon, I feel like, Syph, we can't leave any of this off the free episode. Like,
no,
this
you can't.
Give us a couple of weeks with the K-Slay and this episode. We can't do it for Patreon. Everyone needs it, but we appreciate our patrons so much. And I promise next week, this coming week, maybe we'll come through with some nice bonus content for all you on Patreon. Look, they fell off to 563. So like 50 people were, you know, did it again. You guys just come and I think it's the same 50 who come and go. So we'll see you when we come back. But to everyone else who still subscribes to Patreon, the 563 of you who we love thank more you. Than everyone else, we appreciate you. Say hi to everyone on the Discord. And Syph, go fuck yourself.
Oh, shit.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.